Blog Talk Radio.
This is Leslie Arnold, hosting ACRITA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji, and welcome to the show this evening. It is May 2nd, 2015, Saturday evening at 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States. And it's a pleasure to have everyone with us, and particularly to have the leader of the teaching, whose name is Sri Kadachi, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Srirosha Master. And probably people are wondering, what does that title mean? It's quite a long title. I would like to say this before I am going to turn that question over to Sri Kadachi, but he is the 973rd in an unbroken line of Living Srirosha Masters. So, Sri Kadachi, welcome. And if I may ask you, maybe you could give us a little bit of an explanation on what that title means and what your position is in this teaching.
Well, I guess you're saying hello, and I'm fine, and I hope you're fine, too.
All right. Thanks. Sorry, I skipped that part this evening, so right. I apologize. I'm glad that you're
That's
doing
quite all right. Well, the whole title business is really to try to explain the highest evolved individual human being, and you can't really do it other than give a long, long title that take you a week to explain or something. So it's sort of without any ticker tape parade or fanfare or a tantara, as they say. It's just a long definition for the titular lineage leader of the teaching. And that's been an old name, an old title that goes back before the dawn of time, because it's an ironic title, because there are a lot of living masters on the path. So when you say the living Srirosha Master, well, it's sort of the fact it doesn't really matter in terms of, well, it matters that he's alive physically, but the living part of it is because of limitations of logic and titles and all that business. So it's just an old title. In higher Sanskrit, it's the Pranan Srirosha Acharya, Pranan Srirosha Acharya. So it's a little bit different. So in that language, it's definitively different, but in English it doesn't really explain it as well, so to speak. But so you're left with kind of an ironic name, if you will, in terms of the title. Mahaji just means great friend, with the Maha in higher Sanskrit means great, and Ji means friendship or term of endearment, that sort of thing. So that particular title is a 14th initiate or higher on the path, plus when the living master is a 14th initiate or higher, then he's called a Mahaji. And right now I'm a 24th initiate, so at the point of demarcation from the escape from that level or the going to a higher level, then I don't think there's an escape, but anyway, when you leave that next level, then it's past the 14th, and then it's a Mahaji after that. So that's why that is fronted on the title. All right, having said all that, in terms of that the clearing up the title name in business, because what we try to do each week, we try to talk about the basic principles of the teaching of ACRITA, A-K-A-T-H-A. The T-H is pronounced like a hard T in higher Sanskrit. There's no TH the sound in that language. Therefore, the pronunciation is a hard T or ACRITA. Sometimes I know it's difficult for people if they don't hear a pronunciation or see a pronunciation key. I'm always looking for dictionaries with pronunciation keys because it's interesting how you'll say a word that isn't used very often, and then it may be a incorrect pronunciation. So therefore, the hard T is how we pronounce ACRITA. Now, the short definition for ACRITA is the ancient science of Sahaji. So you can see that the word science is very obvious there. And it is a science of the the inner traveling of spirit, which is the light and sound of the individual, through the four lower planes. Those are definitive levels of a multidimensional space, if you will. But those are the main, or the most important definitive focus points in the lower planes. So we have the physical, astral, causal, mental, and the top of the mental plane, top of the fourth plane is the etheric plane. And the reason why, it's not really the fifth plane, and the reason why we call it the top of the fourth plane is because it's a vast area. So it's almost a plane unto itself, but it really is called on the fourth plane, because the fifth plane is a very important level of self-realization. And the first goal in Akita, of that place where one learns about oneself as soul, it's a very important experience. And that's why the initiations up to that level are shorter than the ones after that, because initiations are generally about every 5 years after the fifth initiation. And all the initiations are, is once one steps onto the path, we have free membership. There's no payment for anything, books, and it's all given away and free. But the commitment to the path, then there are different levels of experience and duration. For instance, the whole idea of being a member of a society or club, there are usually different degrees of attainment, I'll say. And the attainment in Akita is what is known as initiation. The first initiation is in the dream state. It's on the first plane, at the physical plane. And as I said before, those four lower planes, we're attempting to negotiate those as quick as possible. So the second initiation, which comes after the second year, one becomes the second initiate, or the teaching circle called the Arahata. The third plane is the causal plane, and that is where one becomes a third initiate, obviously, and then the fourth plane, the fourth initiation, and then the fifth initiation is the self-realization, or what we call the Mahdi's, or in sort of vernacular terms, it's called the Satguru, where they're self-realized being, a very powerful soul, a very powerful individual in terms of a self-realized self-identity, one who has had not necessarily a depth shift in Akita or Sarosha or the Sahaji, as we call it, the science of Sahaji, the movement of the inner self, the soul, the light and sound within, that essence of the individual, when it attains the fifth initiation, then they are what is known as a Satguru. And it's a very important place because that's the liberation point. And having said all that, the liberation is keynote on the path of Akita, where the soul that's embodied in the physical body is seeking to get that first realization place of self-realization. All right, maybe you could go through the second, third goals, Leslie, if you will, after the first goal of self-realization, which I pretty much covered. If you wanted to add anything, go ahead. But on self-realization, if you wanted to add it. If not, you can proceed to the other two goals, if you will.
Well, as far as self-realization goes, it is very important that someone get to that level, because that does, as you mentioned, bring him to the higher planes, the planes where there's no negativity. It's all positive, pure energy. There's no negativity, no matter energy, space, or time, mixed into the higher world. So it's a very important step. But as far as the next goals, the God realization goal comes about when one becomes initiated on the eighth plane. And that is really just as it sounds, the understanding of our connection with God, with when we call God Akshar in Akita, because the name God can be confused with lower world gods, and Akshar is on a higher plane. So I wanted to mention that it's very important, because the recognition of our relationship with God is very, very important at this time. And we start thinking about what we're going to be doing within the universe as far as helping not just mankind, but helping all on the inner and the outer planes, because there are positions in the universe that can be had by unfolded souls. But the real goal, the ultimate goal that we're looking for here, is spiritual mastery, and it takes quite a while to get to that level in general. And spiritual mastery, we really, at that point, we really have complete freedom in choosing what we do want to do on the inner planes. So it's a very, very important place to be. There are many spiritual masters on this path, and many people that are on their way to achieving spiritual mastery. And that happens on the 10th plane, when we receive that 10th plane initiation. So, and also, I did want to mention that the name of that plane is called the Anami Lok. And when we talk about chanting a word in our contemplation exercises, which we'll go into in a little while, we use the word here, which actually comes from the 10th plane. So it's very, very important. And by the way, each of these planes have sounds, they have colors that are connected with them. So when you're traveling on the inner in Sahaja, you know where you are. Did you want to add anything to that, Sri Kadarji?
Yes, I was wanting to add to, when you're talking about godlization, not mm-hmm. only the whole idea of is each one of these major goals are experiences, because we call Akita the experiential path, so that one has experience. It's not just an understanding, and I wanted just to emphasize that, because you did, and that was fine. I'm just saying that it's for people to realize it's not just a bunch of words spewed by New Age teachers and seminars and groups of that nature. They really don't know much of anything other than the fact that they give you a bunch of information and sell it to you. Whereas we're not really selling anything. What we're teaching is to bridge the experience, to negotiate the lower planes in reality and the experience of Sahaji on the inner planes. And my responsibility is the only one to be able to do that, is to guide one through that morass of the lower worlds. So people can go and listen to whomever they want, and they will, because you're talking about 99 out of 100 people that will go off into other paths and what have you, and claim that these so-called leaders can do this and that. But they're not the living Sroshan Master. They cannot give anyone liberation. And therefore, the one percenters that do hear us and know that what we say is not a riddle, then they come along and then they gain the liberation. And I think last week I pointed out the irony of the fact that we have all this wisdom, but only 1% of the people can hear it. The other 99% of the people think it's drivel and don't really get it, because they're living in the antithesis world of logic, which is they hear something that appears to be wisdom, but it falls apart in the face of the higher Sanskrit. That's why we use the terms Akita, Rosha, Mahaji, Sahaji. These terms break with the whole logic patterns, and then they have a higher vibration, because when we're talking about logic, we have to hear a first prana, second one, and a conclusion, and then we gain a certain element of understanding. You could call it enlightenment, but enlightenment on the mental plane. It doesn't go any higher into the soul plane, whereas a word spoken by living Sroshan Masters or any Akita as far as that is concerned, has a higher vibration because they're on the path of liberation, directly in line with the Akshar, whereas all of the teachings outside of Akita are just talking gibberish, basically, or to fool somebody in some kind of logic pattern. See, that's the nature of the lower worlds and why the calendar engine controls the lower planes. The calendar engine is the lord of the fourth plane and below. And so it's his responsibility to confuse and keep those 99% of the populace away from the teaching. And actually, everybody will eventually understand Akita, but it may take a long, long time, many, many lifetimes. At any one point, only 10% of a certain population can get the high path. And people say, why is that the case? Well, it's just a cycle of the science. It's like a cyclical occurrence that's going on, like a spinning, and only a certain percentage will spin towards the middle, towards the center. The rest is on the outer spinning of the whole the funnel, if you will. And therefore, see, that's why it is such a science and why the essence of it is the teaching of Akita, where we bring people to the center. And ones that are very close to the center will know that what we're saying is the truth. See, and that's why when we present the teaching, we're really only targeting 1% of the population. And that's okay. The other 99%, or as I said before, I'll go back and try to clear that up. Once the 1% is involved, then another 1% opens up to about 10% of the population. Now, that's all in the science and measurement stuff. But ultimately, when somebody, for instance, if you're a new person's on the call tonight, then they're not really so concerned with the masses. They're more concerned with their own liberation initially. See, we always say you don't turn out to humanity, don't turn to humanity until you really gain your own self-realization. At that point, one really doesn't have to work so hard on themselves to get focus or become balanced, because that's the whole issue. People that aren't on the path are not in balance. I mean, they may claim they are, and I always say it's not our responsibility to go around telling everybody they're miserable or out of balance. That's not our responsibility, but they are. See, that's the whole issue. At the same time, as I said before, our appeal is to 1%, and they come naturally because it's not a riddle to them. See, nothing we say is a riddle to the one who has ears to hear and the eyes to see, can comprehend the presentation of Akita pretty much immediately. So the ready soul may have a few questions, but once they get a clarification, I'll say, then they will come along. And it's not really that difficult. That's why we present the teaching to focus upon that 75 million souls that are ready in the Earth region presently today. Did you want to add something in there, Leslie? Go right ahead if you want to.
Well, yeah, I did want to mention that those of you who have not listened to any of the Akita Blog Talk shows before or seen our website, it's a good idea to go to the website and download some of the books that are on there. And as Trikotovci mentioned earlier, they're all free. The Akita, the Ancient Science of Sahaji, the introductory book, is a great place to start. And it goes through all the basics into many deeper esoteric issues as well. So it's a wonderful foundation for someone who's interested in the teaching. As well, there are audios of Trikotovci speaking that one might be interested in hearing. This is a good place to start, because there is some very basic material as well as deeper material as well for those people that want to find that. So that is a great place to start. And as we said, everything's free. And we invite you to do that. And if you've been listening for a while and you feel that you're already sold, you're welcome to apply. There's no charge to do that. But there is an application on the website, and that is akita.com. Sri Kanasji, you want
sure.
to...
Did you want to take us through a contemplation lesson?
Yes. It's my favorite thing to do. And contemplation should be done daily. It's very important because this is what builds the spiritual foundation and spiritual strength within each of us. And the longer that we contemplate every day, the more spiritual survival factor that we have. So what we do, we recommend to do this 30 minutes a day. If you can do it around the same time every day, that's very beneficial because 30 minutes actually covers a 24-hour period, and that's why that criteria of 30 minutes is important. But what we do is find a quiet place to sit. We can have our feet sitting flat on the floor, or we can be sitting tailor fashioned in a comfortable posture like that as well. And if we need to put earplugs in to block out traffic or exterior noise, then you're welcome to do that. But we want to be relaxed, so we want to take a few deep breaths at first just to relax ourselves. And we want to put our attention on what's called the tisratil, and it's that spot on the forehead just above the bridge of the nose. And many of you have heard it called the third eye as well. So we put our attention there in a gentle fashion. We're not forcing anything. We're just placing our attention there. And after we've taken a few deep breaths, then what we're going to chant is the word Hu, which I mentioned earlier when I was talking about spiritual mastery, Hu being the word on the 10th plane. And Hu is such a high vibration, it really will kind of negativity that might be in the area of the time or that you're feeling or anything like that. It can be used on both the inner or the outer, whichever you're comfortable with. So when we chant the word Hu, it's H-U, and it just sounds like this. Hu. Chanting the word Hu immediately raises our vibrations when we're doing that, and it puts our attention on the higher planes, the planes of the fifth plane and above, which is exactly what we want to do because our goal is spiritual mastery. We can chant Hu as long as we like, or we can do it for a few minutes. But when one stops, we want to get quiet and still keep our attention on the third eye, the tisratil. And don't worry about thoughts flowing through, and just let it happen. We're not trying to make ourselves a vacuum, as it's often said to do in meditation. We're not doing that. Contemplation is a more active state. So there's many types of experiences that one might have. For one thing, you might see a white light, which is the Sraosha or spirit on the higher planes. You might hear the Sraosha, the sound of Sraosha, and it can be heard as many different things, but many people often hear it as a high-pitched electrical sound, and that's important to tune into because it's very balancing to listen to one's own sound current, and we should try to do that as much as possible throughout the entire day. And then one can have a Sahaji experience where one is traveling outside the body. Of course, as soon as we close our eyes, we're actually in a state of Sahaji, but one can also go beyond that into a more vivid experience where we're traveling to any of the inner planes. We might be visiting a temple of golden wisdom and sitting in on a satsang class with one of the spiritual masters who reside at those temples. There's many different types of experiences, and they're all valid experiences. And there's no need to be afraid of anyone attacking, because it's not possible, because the word you is of such a high vibration that it will dispel any kind of negativity that's happening at the time. In addition, when one's a member on the path, they're getting the protection on the inner and the outer from the living service and master. And by the way, if you see a blue light during your contemplation, or any other time for that matter, that's the inner light of the living service and master, the Mahaji. Sri Kanaji, did you want to add anything to the contemplation exercise?
Yes, it's an important practice, as we say. It's not a mandate, but it's a highly suggested to do that, because, as you said earlier, again, the added factor of gaining spiritual stamina is very important, because each day when you practice this, you learn how to travel in the lower planes and gain the liberation that we were talking about earlier in the first goal of self-realization. One wants to get there as quickly as possible, because we didn't mention karma and reincarnation, but I will now, that the factor that we do come into this world with a lot of karma. And then when one steps onto the path, they end their karma and they start resolving it, and then they start practicing what is known as dharma. Now, we're the only teaching that really explains that clearly, because I challenge people to go elsewhere and hear that being said. Now, the point of that is very important, because that commitment to me as a teacher, a living spiritual master at the time, and then the student that steps onto the path now is in the state of resolution of the karma, which is very, very important. Because now, after maybe a million lifetimes, they do not create any more karma. So it's a major step for an individual. That's why only 1% of the population can get it, because it is such a major progress or enlightenment in one's lifetime. And that's important, because there's a, what you would call an elation, or elation is a good word for that, or an uplifting and ecstasy that takes place with the individual on the inner planes, because that's what soul is a very happy entity. And we want to learn more about joy in our life, and not to be so morose and sad and worried about all this and that that happens in the lower planes. So the whole idea is to gain that light and sound that we've been talking about throughout the lecture this evening, is the idea of hearing the sound current, which, again, is a very ecstatic experience for the individual. It's important to experience it and to hear it, and then that becomes an experience and not just a lot of talk. Because we do have a lot of information that needs to be expressed so that one can get the basic fundamentals that we've been talking about each week for a while. We have probably over 400 shows, so people can avail themselves of the archive. If you aren't able to hear it in person or live like this evening, one can use the archive at any time at our Blog Talk Radio site. So what's our timing right now?
We've got about 90 seconds left. Would like to thank everyone for being with us. And as Sri Kadavji just mentioned, feel free to listen to any of those previous shows in the archives, pursue our website, take a look at that, and download some of the books for more information. It's really helpful when you're reading the information, and there are some other examples of spiritual exercises within the books as well, and that's a good thing to do. And with that, I would like to say we've got about 45 seconds left. So thank you, and thank you, Sri Kadavji, for being with us this evening, as you are every week. We certainly appreciate all that you give to us. And I look forward to the show every Saturday night. So with that, we've got about 30 seconds left, and I would like you to close the show for us, if you would, Sri Kadavji.
I am always with you. May the blessings be Barakah B'Shah.